Hey everyone, welcome back to the podcast. Tonight is show number 7, and with us we have Andrew Bartram. We're going to be discussing pinhole focal lengths, a little bit about instant pinhole, a few of our listener projects, and a trip to France.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the show. This is show number 7, and tonight we have a guest, Andrew Bartram. Andrew, how are you?
I'm doing really well, mate. Thank you. Yeah. Really pleased to be here with you.
Yeah, thanks so much. We're going to have a little bit of a change in the lineup on the show, so Andrew's going to be hanging out for a little while. We'll see how long what goes on, but I'll tell you something about that later, but so I know you, Andrew, from Instagram, and on Instagram, you're warboys_pinholes, right?
That's right, yeah, yeah, cool. And across most other platforms as well, yeah.
Yeah. Andrew is into pinhole photography, as well as lots of different styles of photography, so do you want to take a second and let everybody kind of know a little bit about your past, Andrew?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I've been into film photography for many, many years, 35 years since my father gave me an old Russian camera. And this was in the days before the internet. So I guess you remember those as well, Corey. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
And then you had to join a camera club. So I joined a camera club. And this was on the eastern side of the UK.
Right.
We won't go into geography because it's just, you know, it's no use for people who don't live in the UK. So I joined the camera club and learned to develop film. I was given a roll of FP4, went out and shot it, developed it, and got the bug. And I really haven't looked back since. And printing came along a bit later. And I've never really gotten into digital photography. You know, it's fine. It's all cool. It's all good. In fact, I've got this kind of thesis that, you know, digital photography has been really good in a perverse way for analog photography, because it's just opened up photography to so many different people.
Oh yeah,
and it's encouraged the interest in film as well, which is just great.
Sure.
When it comes to pinhole, that's a relatively recent. So that's only the last 18 years since I picked up a Zero 2000 pinhole camera from Silverprint, which is a great store. Used to be in London, but they've moved now. So I picked up this little beautiful little wooden camera, the Zero 2000 6x6. And just started using that, and I would pick it up, I would put it away again, and I would go back to other styles of photography, different formats. For years, I just shot 35mm, then gradually got the bug into 120, and then in the last sort of 5 years or so, the large format stuff. And pinhole is becoming more and more part of what I do. So I got the pinhole gas bug and contacted James at Reality So Subtle and got that 6x6 F, which I think you have.
I have the F, and I also have the regular 6x6. I have quite a few of those, actually.
So I mean, how many pinholes do you need? That's the question. Maybe all of them is the answer. I don't know.
Yeah, that's kind of like, that's helped me with my, gas, I guess, a little bit, because, a 6x6 pinhole is pretty much a 6x6 pinhole, you know what I mean? You're not going to have any difference in high ISOs, you know, from another model.
There's a definite look difference. It's hard to pinpoint between the Zero and the Reality. I don't know what it is. I love using both, but there is a difference. But more recently, I bought the 6x12 panoramic version, not the real big boy, the 617, but the 612.
Mm-hmm.
And I really, really love that. I've only put a few rolls through it, and I'm just getting to grips with loading the thing, because that's a bit fiddly.
Yeah.
But that curved plane on the pinhole is just leads to just beautiful pictures. The image distance from the pinhole to the film plane is consistent, and it's a super sharp pinhole.
Yeah.
And I love it. And you were very kind and sent me some colored gels, so I haven't put those in yet, but I'm going to stick that yellow one in behind there, like you were suggesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so pinhole's becoming more and more of my repertoire. I do a lot of photography just within 5 miles, maybe, of where I live. I live in a very an area called the Fenlands, Fenlands, and Warboys, Warboys, is the town where I live, and this area is should be underwater, really, but it's been drained and reclaimed. Huh. And it's a bit like Holland. So if you've been to Holland, any Dutch listeners, where I live is a bit like that. So it's very flat, black soil, peat, lots of straight ditches, drainage systems. And that's where I take a lot of my inspiration. And pinhole just works really well.
Right.
You know, we have lots of reeds that blow around in the wind, you know, so you can wavy reeds and straight lines. It's all good.
Yeah, sure. That's kind of the same situation I'm in, but I'm right on the coast. So it's really flat here. You know, there's no mountains. There's no rugged coastlines.
No.
You know, I have a little bit. We have marshes.
Yep.
Lots of pine forests. But really flat. I really have to work at going out and shooting, because the scenes I see every day in my everyday travels of about 15 or 20 miles around my home is pretty much the same thing every day. So I've kind of like combated that by just always having a camera with me, you know.
Yeah,
I'll jump out and take it, because it might be a different.
I sit here. I work from home, and I'm not always at home, but my office is at home. And some days I'll sit and look out the window, and I'll see that we've had a rainstorm, and I just see the sun starting to come out, and I know you're going to get that sort of black clouds, and the sunlight's going to be shafting right across the fens, and it's just beautiful. So then I can just jump in the car. And maybe take half an hour with a camera, not the large format, because that takes me too long. But yeah. I might grab a pinhole, or in the past maybe an instant camera.
Sure.
I don't do as much of that now, but I just love it around here. And I know what you mean. It's a constant challenge to try and find inspiration in the familiar,
mm-hmm.
but you've just got to try and do that, because you know. Otherwise, you're just forever wanting to just travel farther and farther away.
Yeah.
When just take time to look where you are, and really look for the light and for structure and form, and for something different. And maybe get a project, you know. So get a project. Yeah. You know, like for me, it could be photographing the drainage ditches, or you know, or just using the pinhole camera, and building up a body of work just in the area where you live. That's what I recommend. That's what I like doing.
Yeah, I started kind of watching the weather, kind of like what you're saying, the same thing too. I'll see a scene somewhere one day, and I'll be like, oh, this would be really nice if it was moody with clouds. And a lot of my area photographs I do is geared around the tides, low tide, high tide. You know, some things you want to see and take a picture of, you can't see at high tide. You have to wait for low tide. So you have to kind of like really be kind of active and like pre-visualize what you want to do. There's not very much of just walking around and hoping that something happens where I live. You know, you really want it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I was brought up by the coast, and I really miss living by the sea. Although on the bit of coast where I was born, the tide was kind of in all the time. It never really moved much. You know, I didn't get those long exposed mudflats, you know, with the little ripples and the sun shining on them.
Sure. But
I just miss the seaside, and maybe one day I'll move back.
Yeah. But,
maybe
one day.
Yeah. Well, so there we are. That's me in a massively small nutshell.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm just addicted to film photography, really. And I love making prints. And when I'm trying not to think about work, I'm thinking about film.
Yeah, I'm the
And
same way.
yeah. And
And
I go on, mate. Yeah, sorry.
No, I was just going to say that, you know, that's one of the things I like about doing pinhole. And I think why I've kind of liked the idea of getting people to make their own cameras, because it is so easy to make your own pinhole camera, and it's so easy to develop it and do it at home. You don't have to have a big, giant, fancy lab. Like everybody thinks you have to have the big metal sinks and, you know, you don't have to have all that. You can do it on a budget, much cheaper, much easier, and still get just as good a result. You know,
Well, you don't need a dark room, do you? You know, you need a dark area, a changing
yeah,
bag.
sure.
You don't even need film. I mean, you know, you can
Yeah,
use darkroom paper, or I
exactly.
know you were talking about the direct positive stuff, weren't you?
Yeah.
Maybe last show, was it?
Yeah, and I went out and shot some. I'll talk about
Did
that a
you?
little bit later. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Well, let's see. One of the followers that I have on Instagram is Dustin at One Mississippi, which is short for One Mississippi, I guess. And he's down in, he lives in Mississippi. And he's been building a 4x5, and I've been in contact with him. And he's making his own film holder, which I can't even imagine how infuriating that would be for me. I don't think I would take a chance at building my own film holders. But he's doing it, and he sent me some
Is
pictures.
he?
And,
Wow.
He's working right along with it, man. I think he's going to be successful.
Are you going to put those up on the on the Instagram page so
yeah.
we can see them?
Yeah, yeah, I'll ask him, and they're kind of just rough models, you know, but they look pretty cool from what he's doing. So, yeah, I'll get in touch with him.
Is he building that from scratch, or is he building it for? I see people, they use any kind of box, which is the kind of right size, don't they? You know, like
yeah,
cigar boxes are quite popular, aren't they?
That's what he's doing. He has a cigar box, and he's going to make it into a 4x5. And I guess he just doesn't want to buy film holders. So he's like, he sent me a message. He's like, you know, what goes into these film holders? And I was kind of like, whew, man, you know, you're like, if you got the energy to do it, you know, go for it.
So like a double dark slide, he's that kind of
yeah,
thing.
Sure.
Why doesn't he just buy one?
I don't know. I think I think he's just new to pinhole, and he's just kind of wants to do it, you know.
Yeah, cool.
He wants to give it a try. So
but
yeah,
you're a handy chap, Corey. So I gather, you know, you make bits of furniture and things. So surely that's not beyond your capabilities.
It's not, you know, but I kind of pick and choose my battles. Pinhole for me right now is really fun. I don't have a problem with purchasing a pre-made camera like the Realities
yeah.
or the Zero Images, because I'd like to put more time into going out and shooting it. I don't really care about all
yeah.
the nitpicking details about it. I just want to put film in it and have, you know, have pictures. I made a camera that's really big just because I wanted something that's 16x20. So I can't afford that. So I had some plywood in my garage, and I just cut it up and glued it together, you know, and I'm going from there. And I made various, you know, aluminum tin cans, whatnot, container pinholes, and those are fun. But yeah, I mean, like, if you don't have a dark room, making your own camera is kind of pointless if you don't have anywhere to develop the paper negatives or whatever you're using, you know. So the 35 millimeter matchbooks cameras and any other camera that you buy that's roll film is pretty much the best way to get into it and get going, and you can just send your film off, you know.
Well, if I backed that lab box on Kickstarter. Did you see that? Did you see the lab box? Lab box.
I did not. Is that what? What was it?
Well, we've been waiting a while now. So, but while they fine tune the design, but basically it's a you stick your 120 film in it or your 35 mil, and in the daylight, and then you wind it through, and it's and then you pour your chemicals in. So it's daylight loading onto the spiral. Daylight developing, and you don't need a darkroom, so you can take your take your images, put it in your lab box, wind it through, develop it using Caffeinol, you know, coffee developer, or your normal film developer, whatever you want, you know.
Wow.
And yeah, you look that up. It's on. It's called the Lab Box. LABBOX. And maybe sometime this year it may drop through my letterbox. I don't know.
Maybe sometime in the next. That seems to be the par for course with most of these Kickstarter things. Some of them just kind of go on forever, do they?
Well, I think the there's a few that have taken a while, but some people have got it nailed, and some people get bogged down in the development of it. But
yeah,
you know, I tend to encourage the Kickstarters, the film Kickstarters, and I've been a bit of a sucker to backing them over the years. You know,
I back some things. I back the Film Lab app. I got that. I'm still involved with that, and it hasn't quite gotten to the point to where you can just scan a negative with your phone and just put it straight up. But it's nice to have, because as soon as I get done developing my film and it's hanging up and drying, I come right back behind it and I can just go through and look at them. You know what I mean? Like, okay.
Well, Hamish Gill on 35mmc
mm-hmm.
Website, he's bringing to market some kind of scanning device. I think it's like a lump of plastic that you stand your iPhone on. That's the way he describes it anyway. And then you can get a consistent distance. You put your use a light box or something, but it's some kind of device to help you get easy, quick scans. And he was talking to those Sunny 16 guys about it a few shows ago.
That's where I heard it at.
Yeah.
I've heard about him. So Dustin has wanted us, he asked, you know, a little bit about understanding focal lengths and pinhole cameras. So I'll try my best, and if I'm wrong, let me know. But this is just kind of how I see it. As far as if you're making your own camera, the closer your film is to your pinhole, the wider angle you're going to have. And if you pull it away from your pinhole, you're going to have a more normal angle. And I haven't gotten too much much into the numbers for all that. I kind of just enjoy having fun and guessing. But what was the one resource we were talking about, Andrew? Was photographers-resource.co.uk?
Yes, I think that was it, wasn't it? And pinhole solutions, is that the same or is that a slightly different one? But there, if you Google photographers resource pinholes, there's lots of stuff that comes up.
Lots of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also on pinhole.stanford.edu /pinholemath.htm, they have a lot of formulas and everything you need for that. And the very first paragraph on their site, this is what it says. This section is not necessary at all to do pinhole photography. It is written for people like myself who have to know what is going on and why. If math bothers you, go back to the tables and you will do fine.
I think
art is more important.
I think if you get a bit of tin foil and I was going to say your wife's sewing needle, but that maybe is a bit sexist. You get a just...
Yeah.
Maybe you do your own sewing. I don't know.
Sure.
You get a needle or a pin, and you make a hole in that, and then you shove it on a Coca-Cola can and put some paper in. Just do it. You know, as they say.
Yeah. Because you can totally get into. And I know the guys that make cameras like Todd Slim.
Yep.
I know those guys and James, and I know they're probably well versed with all that stuff, and I'm happy with letting them figure that out, you know. And,
well, they do such a good job, don't they?
Yeah, totally. I mean, absolutely. It's as far as for me, as far as I go, is just figuring out, coming up with like kind of a working aperture size so that I can kind of, you know, meter it at least, and get something close to a picture, you know. So
yes, and there's lots of. There are loads of resources out there. If you just do a quick Google search, you'll find stuff. Yeah.
I know. If you go to James's site, Reality So Subtle site, he sells pinholes there.
He does.
He has recommended focal lengths for the pinhole sizes that he has, and he has a formula there, which is basically measure the depth of your box, convert that into millimeters, divide by the size of the pinhole, and you're going to get a pretty close number to what you can meter for. So if you had a 3-inch box, that's what, 76 millimeters, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Divide that by 0.3 millimeters, if that's the size of the pinhole you have.
It's fairly typical, isn't it?
Yeah, and so then you'll end up with a working aperture of about 253, you know, f-stop of f.253. So
there you go.
Go check that out, because that's a really good resource he has there.
And if you buy those reality pinholes, we're not on commission, are we?
No, we're not.
They're just super sharp, you know.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, really good stuff.
And now he started putting them on flexible bases.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, I got a couple of those so that they'll bend to cans or paint cans or
okay.
You know, anything you wanted to put it on, really. And all the camera makers, I think, sell pinholes. I don't know if Ondu does, but for the most part, they all sell their own pinholes. So they're all great, no matter who you go with and who you order it from.
Well, you have to get those guys on the show at some point, Corey, and see what they have to say.
Todd is Todd from the Laboratory is. Said he wants to come on, and I've briefly talked with James from Reality So Subtle, and he wants to come on. I think maybe I'm going to be getting him on the 10th show.
Okay.
In a couple more shows, I think he's going to come on. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to work out the logistics with that because he's in France, right? So you guys are in the same time frame, I think, aren't you? Or are you?
No, there's an. I can tell you with some authority that they are 1 hour ahead of us.
Yeah, that's
so right. That's 6 hours difference for you.
Right. That's okay. I mean, I'll do whatever, talk whenever, whatever time.
But he's not French. He's not French, so it's okay.
Yeah, yeah, he's Irish, right?
He is. Yeah.
yeah. So that's about as far as I've really gotten with figuring out focal lengths. The closer your film plane is to your pinhole, the wider view you're going to have, and the farther you take it away, you're going to have wide anglesness.
I think I'm just looking at my zero now, and that's slightly deeper body than the reality.
Yeah,
and I think that gives a slightly narrower angle of view. The zero gives a slightly narrower angle of view, sure. and the reality is slightly wider. I think maybe the reality might be the low 20 mil in equivalent of 35 millimeter.
Sure.
And the zero is a bit tighter, but not much.
The zero is 25 millimeters, and the realities are 20.5 millimeters.
Oh, there we go. Yeah.
There's about five.
So
I think that's about it. I don't really know what else to say about that unless we get really, really in depth. But
well, there's a saying that I use quite a bit. In the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king. So
sure.
I can go so far on bluff, and then I have to just stop, okay?
Yeah, yeah. Me too. So, and then we have Denise.
Oh, yeah.
Denise is on Instagram as Denise G316. You might know her from Twitter as my Blue Phase, I think it is.
Yep.
And she did a call into the show talking about instant in pinhole. And I will say that I'm out of my element with instant film because a couple of years ago, I started to get into it. I went and bought a Land camera, and I'm not joking. Literally, a week after I purchased my Land camera and about four packs of film, Fuji discontinued it, and the prices literally tripled overnight. So I literally shot about three packs in a traditional Land camera, and I never even done any pinhole with it. So do you have any experience with that?
Well, I do. I do, yes. Instant film, certainly. I never quite got to the point where I was thinking of making a pinhole camera. I've got a couple of plastic color pack cameras. They're Polaroid plastic bodied cameras. And there's quite a few hacks online about making Polaroid pinhole cameras from these, from those.
Yeah.
And some people use the Land cameras, like you were describing. I've got a couple of broken ones in my darkroom, and they were sitting there. I thought, I'll make pinhole cameras with those one day. But like you, once Fuji peel apart film was discontinued, I kind of gave up.
Yeah.
For the previous, since maybe about 2010, just after Polaroid stopped you know, went into receivership or whatever happened to them. I got into Polaroid, you know, considering I was shooting film all those years. And to be honest, Polaroid just went past me by completely. And I think now of all the beautiful Polaroid emulsions I missed. But anyway, that's another story. So I got into peel apart stuff, and the I was a pioneer with the Impossible project. So sure. I was throwing loads of money at Impossible, along with a load of others, and we were supporting them in the early days. And then I started getting into expired Polaroid film. It's called 669. It's a beautiful emulsion, and that was getting expensive. And I had a fridge full of this stuff, and my wife would open the fridge. She'd say, "What is all this stuff?" And I said, "That's my retirement plan."
Yeah.
and then when Fuji discontinued that pack film, I said, "Well, do you know what? Do I keep spending more and more money on this, or am I going to use it?" And do you know what? I sold it, and I bought some paper for the darkroom. And maybe I bought a camera or two as well. I can't remember. But you can still buy the Fuji material, and you can make pinholes out of that. That's got a speed of 100 ISO. So that's, you know, you can use the Sunny 16 rule or any of your calculators. And you can get film backs that hold FP100C and, you know, fix that to a cigar box or something. And also with the Impossible, or what they call now Polaroid Originals, with those films, my mate Alex, who's organizing the UK pinhole meetup, he's got a pinhole camera that takes those Impossible or Polaroid integral films. And I think that's made by a company in Vienna called SuperSense, SuperSense. And I've been out with him a few times using that. And to be honest, I haven't seen him make a decent result of it yet. And when I see him on Sunday, I'll remind him. You can do all that. And if you go to Flickr, you know, whatever your interest is, photographic or otherwise, you can find a group for you. And cool. And if you go and look up Polaroid pinhole on Flickr, you'll see loads of images on both the peel apart material and also the integral stuff. And there's discussions as well. So I'm sure if you search for discussions, there'll be loads of people willing to give you advice.
Right. Yeah.
But I think SuperSense made a pinhole camera for the Impossible stuff, but you'll see some images on Flickr, and there's some beautiful, beautiful work made using Fuji FP100C.
Awesome. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back. So, Andrew, you were saying that last week you were in France? Yeah.
Yeah, I was, yeah.
Did you get much shooting done, or did you get out? Or?
I did, yeah. We had 2 days. We went to Normandy, where the Allied forces invaded France and on D-Day. So we went to the American beaches and saw some big German guns.
Cool.
I stuck a couple of photographs up on Instagram just of the guns. But
I saw that one.
Yeah, I had my large format camera with me with pinhole, but I had a 6x17 back on the camera.
Wow.
But I wanted to get these images of the beach, you know, and then looking back into the town. And on the beach at Aramarsh, which is right in the middle of the landing areas, I think it was on the edge of the British and American beaches. I can't quite remember now. They've got all these, they were called mulberry harbours, they're floating harbours. And these big concrete things are just floating out in the sea. And one or two of them are on the beach, and they just made fantastic images. And the tide was out, which was perfect.
So the beaches there are really long, aren't they?
They are, yeah, and really beautiful. If you get if you come to Europe, head down to France into Normandy. But I took my 6x12 with me, and I had it was loaded with I think FP4 to start with, and I shot some of these. We got there quite in the middle of the daytime where the guns, these big guns were that would have been firing on the Americans, and these guns were just the light was all in the wrong place. So me and my mate I was on holiday with. We went back in the morning when the sun was just coming up, and the light was just raking across the front of these guns, and they were all illuminated. So wow. before too many tourists turned up, shots with my large format, and then I got the pinhole camera out and shot it both horizontally. And did I do vertical shots? Yeah, I did some vertical shots. So you can go inside these gun areas and you can go around the back of the gun, and the area at the back was in deep shadow, and there was a door frame at the back with bright light, and I did a pinhole of that, and I stuck my pinhole app at the floor and got a time of about 10 minutes, and so I turned the camera upright and opened that reality lens. And then I thought, well, actually, why don't I go and walk into the space? So I went and walked into the area that was illuminated, and I stood there for a couple of minutes, moving my head around, and then I walked out of the shot. So I had no idea how that would come out, but that was real fun. I enjoyed that. And then I stuck it right up against the gun and to get, the barrel of the gun. And then I stuck a roll of Ektar in, Ektar 100, and shot that as well. So I did a couple of rolls using the 6-12, and it was a lot of fun. You there, mate?
So sorry about that, everybody. The Anchor app has gremlins in it. But what I was saying was I like having that same style of faint images, in pictures.
Yeah.
Coming and going. I like that scale of time that you can record, with it. So yeah, that's cool. Are you gonna be putting those up, or have you developed them yet?
No, I've developed one roll from the roll film back, but I've not done the pinholes yet. I've not had a lot of time. I came back from France, and then I was away for a few more days with work, and then I've been, just busy. And then I'm away this weekend with the pinhole weekend in Norwich, so I've not had a chance to do that yet, but I will share it eventually.
Cool.
What about you?
Yeah, I haven't. The only thing that's happened for me, I think I went and took some. I went to my son's birthday party, and took some pictures at a bowling alley.
Okay. Oh, that's wow. Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty fun. I really only found one image, one angle that I really kind of liked, and I developed those, and they came out pretty good. So I'll put one of those up, but I tried to limit that so that I can.
Did you go down to the end and put it amongst all the pins?
No, that was a really good idea. I didn't think about doing that. But you can't walk down there because if you go past the sensor, it dings you. You know what I mean?
It does, yeah, yeah.
And it's really slippery. Like those bowling alleys. I guess I could walk down the middle, down the gutter. It's hard, with a pinhole camera, especially like the reality ones, because they're black and they're little boxes and they're just sitting there and nobody's messing with them, and people tend to get rather inquisitive about it and freaked out. You're like, what is that? Oh my God. You know,
I know. It's ticking. It's a bomb. Yeah. I love just taking mine everywhere with me. Like I go for a meal and I'll just stick it on a shelf somewhere, open it up and see what happens. You know, sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't.
I do the same thing. My family has kind of gotten used to it too, because we'll go somewhere and be like, okay, everybody has to sit still, you know, and they're like, oh, sit down. Okay. They see me take it out. They're like, oh, we're not going anywhere for a few minutes, and everybody plops down. But yeah. So I did that. I didn't do a whole lot there because I was trying to kind of bowl and hang out with my son who turned six. So it was fun. All the family was there, but I got the direct positive paper a couple of days ago. And went and shot that. I put some of those examples up on the Instagram. And I'm excited about that paper. It's just going to take some determination and some tests, you know, to work it out. Yeah,
it has a very low ISO, doesn't it? And it's quite contrasty as well.
I shot an ISO 5. So part of my problem was I knew I shouldn't have gone out and done it at 12, but I got off of work a little bit early and I just couldn't wait. You know, I was like,
no,
you know, so I went over to a Civil War fort that we have here. It's called Fort Macon, and they have guns and cannons everywhere, you know, and a nature trail and some cool trees. And I took that picture of the tree and then one of the cannon. The other two were the contrast was so bad. I mean, I looked like almost like it was like lift negatives or something, you know what I mean? Like there was almost no details in the highlights. It was almost clear, you know, so it was kind of, I didn't post those.
Well, sometimes that can work really well, you know, and you can get unexpected results and, you know, and then you can just claim it was art, can't you?
Yeah. That's how it works, right?
Yeah. But I think you were also, we both looked at the data sheet, didn't we, that Ilford produces for this paper, and there's a whole load of useful information there about controlling that contrast.
Yeah, there is. And I think other than pre-flashing, picking your time is probably going to be the best.
It's good. You need to just use it in the UK. Come over here. And, you know, we don't get sun here. It's no good for anything. So it's just a normal day for us would be great.
No contrast for you guys over there, huh?
Just... No. Everything's in black and white in the UK. It's gray and dull.
Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah, and that's how it is here. And then for me here, it's the exact opposite. It's like almost, you know, too much contrast, you know? It's kind of like, geez, like I'm definitely first thing in the morning or late in the evening.
Yes.
That's why that's part of the reason why I've gotten into using filters so much, because I have to do something to slow down exposures, you know, and kind of work something out. If not,
and then you get those beautiful, if the clouds are moving, you get those beautiful moving clouds. And that's what I think I first noticed about, you know, your work, some of those clouds and the long exposures you were doing.
Yeah. I liked it. I like that real, I call those light speed clouds where it looks like you're going like 900 miles an hour. And most of the time I have a neutral density filter. Before James came out with the 6x6F, I was taking the filters in some rubber bands and just rubber banding them to the front of my camera, you know, and then he released that F and I was like, oh my God. That's
well, do you know what? I was listening to your show the other week, and it was talking about just going out and buy some cheap filters. And I went onto eBay, and for about £7, I've got six filters, all different colors and stuff. You know, they're probably they're probably rubbish, really, but they'll be fine. You know, there's red, blues, orange, green.
Yeah,
all in a pouch.
Oh, that's
nice.
Yeah. So, I find myself using red. Red and maybe a two or three stop neutral density filter the most.
Yeah.
I guess it's maybe like a nine stop neutral density filter, and it's just too long.
Yeah, I have one of those. I think it's a 10 stop thing, and I think, I see some great images with them, but I think it's too long for pinhole.
Yeah, the vignetting just gets kind of too, I don't know. So I don't use that one too much, but yeah, the red one is a really good one. green is supposed to be too. You know, that helps out with people's skin if you're going to be doing pictures of people's skin with skin. You know, most people have skin, right? Anyways,
mostly they do. I think the classic filter, which is much forgotten about now, is yellow green. So you've got that yellow and the green. And that's really good for skin, and it lightens the green on the young trees and darkens the sky a bit. So sure. yellow green filters, good one as well.
Yeah. So hopefully I can get the direct contact paper to work, direct positive paper to work, because I want to get it going in my 16x20 camera. So I'm sacrificing some 5x7 to kind of get a handle on it, you know. I think that the 16x20 size equals out to being about $11 a shot, $109 for 10 shots. So
a friend of mine has been building a 16x20 large format camera for about the last 5 years. Anyway, that's another story, but
yeah, that's a whole other show, right?
Yeah, it is.
Cool. Well, I got an email from Toby. You know Toby, don't you?
I do. I met him at the photography show a few weeks ago with Graham and Aid and Rachel from the Sunny 16 podcast.
I won't call him by his nickname, but we'll just call him Toby.
Yeah, don't go there.
I've been following him with his ceramic camera.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he's been sending me pictures with that, and he says that I've been busy with work, so no ceramic work for me recently. And he says that he sent me some pictures that he took a couple summers ago of a pinhole body cap that he put onto his infrared converted D90.
Okay.
He says, I shot them out of a moving car window just for the extra challenge.
Wow.
Okay. Have either of you tried digital pinhole? I don't find normal digital work as satisfying as working with paper and film, but the movement in these IR images are... I was very happy with. Yeah, I liked them. The ones that he sent me, they look like pinhole to me, you know.
Have you put those on the? I haven't seen them. So have you put those on the Instagram site?
No, they're not there yet. I'm gonna throw a couple of those up so everybody can see those. And I haven't done anything with my digital camera. I don't know why I haven't. I just haven't really got around to doing it. I guess if I came up short with film and needed to get my fix, I could do it, you know.
Yeah. Yep. No, I've got nothing against it. That's just that I don't own a digital camera, so I can't put a pinhole on it.
Yeah. Right.
But no, he does. He's a great guy, and he's got his daughter into photography as well.
Mm-hmm.
And she's called Kitty, I think, and she turned up at the photo show with one of those neat little Rolly 35 cameras where the lens pulls out. And her dad had given her his Hasselblad 500. Well, I think she claimed he'd given it to her.
Right.
So he's a cool dad.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, Jesus.
And he had some. I think he'd been doing some cyanotypes as well. So he was talking to Rachel about that, and he made some cyanotypes onto porcelain tiles that his wife had made
with the lace.
Yeah, with the lace. Yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah. Really good stuff.
Awesome. Yeah, so maybe I'll get some of those up. Plus it's infrared. That's infrared's my thing. I love doing that, and it's just I'm just coming into infrared season for where it gets bright enough and hot enough how I like
you,
it.
You can't use infrared in the UK. There's no sun.
Yeah, you guys, it doesn't work, huh?
No, it does. In the past I've shot the Kodak high speed infrared. Mm-hmm. And a bit of that Ilford material, but which is like a semi infrared. I think if you use a heavy red filter.
Yeah.
But I've not shot any in pinhole, but maybe this summer if we get good weather.
Sure. So Toby, we'll get some of your pictures up, Toby, and hopefully we'll get you on the show soon so we can talk about.
Oh, that'd be good. Yeah.
Talk about that camera. Yeah, the ceramic camera. And other than that, we got the Sprocket contest going on. Mm. That's going to be open till May the 18th.
All right, I better make a note of that. Have you done anything for that?
Yes and no. I have a little metal, like a gummy bear tin that I'm going to use. That's about the size of like a pack of cigarettes, I think. So I'm going to put a piece of film in that and poke a hole. And I'm going to use that. And the other thing I'm going to do is I'm going to take my zero image and make some little spacers and just put the film canisters in there and just put a piece of black tape over the view, over the window, the counter window.
Yep.
And just go outside and just have that, give that a go and see what I can come up with.
Oops. Yeah. I may try that as well this weekend for the pinhole meetup.
Yeah. So other than that, that's about all we got going on. Do you have any shout outs you want to do?
I do. Yeah. Yeah. I've been, spending a bit of time on Flickr and, two guys really, a lady and a gentleman. The guy is called Alan Hamblen, Hamblen, and he's on Flickr with his name, Alan Hamblen. And he does some beautiful Holger pinholes work, and I think some homemade pinholes as well. And a lot of that's down in Cornwall, which is in the southwest of the United Kingdom. A beautiful area. And if you're a fan of Poldark, I don't know if you get Poldark, the latest series. A lot of that is filmed down there. And so go check him out on Flickr, Alan Hamblen. And the other one is Diane Peterson. And you can find her at thepinholequeen.com, which I think is her website. And she's a super talented lady. I think she's across other platforms as well. But I think I'm going to meet her in the UK when she comes over. She lives over your side of the water.
Yeah,
but she may already be here for our weekend meetup, and I'm going to hand her the Terrapin Gitswap camera so that she can put her images over top of mine.
Cool.
And then she takes that camera back to America with her.
Mm-hmm.
So that's fun. So check out Diane Peterson and Alan Hamblen.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, Mark and myself are both in that.
I know, yes.
So, yes, that's going to work out good.
Might take a while.
Yeah, that's all right. It'll happen. So I've been following a couple people on Instagram because I'm not on Flickr. Yes. And you might know this guy, too. He's Stephen Killen. He is at pinhole_New York.
Oh, I saw him the other day, yeah.
Yeah, he does the portraits, the pinhole portraits. And he does the around New York images.
Yeah, I did see him.
He has a great picture of a portrait with someone with a gas mask on.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'll have to go check that out. I did come across him the other day, but I'll go and take another look.
Yeah, he's a good one. And another account that I've been following that I really enjoyed that I just found is at Pinhole Portraits. And it's a project that someone's doing with a little matchbook pinhole camera, and he's doing the sprocket holes, you know, with the 35mm, you know,
yep,
the sprockets. But he's doing his portraits over that, and that's really good. And that's at Pinhole Portraits on Instagram. So
check that out as well.
Yeah, check those two out. And have you been following these guys? Just feature other pinhole photographers, but it's an account called Pinhole Society.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm familiar with them. Yeah,
I think where they're out of Australia, I believe.
Oh, I couldn't tell you, but I'm familiar with them.
Anyways, I've been following them, and I've been liking their feed lately. So those three are my top ones.
You've only got Instagram to worry about. I have to try and keep on top of Flickr and Twitter, which just drives me bananas, you know. But I like Twitter. And Flickr and Instagram, so it's just, oh, boy.
Yeah, sure. Well, I think that's do it for us, you think. You got anything else to say, Andrew?
No, all my family are going to arrive home soon, and it'll get real noisy.
Cool. Well, let's let everybody know where they can find you at, Andrew.
Yeah, you can find me across those aforementioned platforms. At Warboys Snapper, that's WARBOYSSNAPPER. And you'll find me on Instagram and Flickr and Twitter.
Cool.
So, yeah, look me up.
Yeah, and if you want to get a hold of me, I'm on Instagram as Pinhole Cannon, and you can also get in touch with me through the show's Instagram, which is The Lensless Podcast, and you can email me at thelenslesspodcast@yahoo.com. And that would be the best way to go about doing that. Yeah, and I wanted to say, you know, since the beginning, I've had Mark on the show with us, and he has enjoyed doing it with us, but you know, just with his family life, he was just kind of hard pressed for the time, and I think he wanted to kind of, it was kind of cutting into his time, you know what I mean? So hopefully he's going to come back again another day and visit with us. So, but for a little while, I think he's going to, he said he wanted to take a break. So that's where Mark is. He's doing all right, and he's still photographing. So make sure you're still following him, because he's a great photographer.
He's three-eyed monster, isn't he?
Yes, he is. Mm. Yep. Yeah. Twitter, Flickr. He's big on Flickr too.
Yeah. 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 We follow each other.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. I'm the only one out of the group that's not on Flickr. So
you should get on.
Yeah. Maybe I will. Between two Instagram accounts and Twitter, I don't even really like Twitter that much. It's kind of, I don't have much of a showing there, but cool. So we will talk to everybody next week. I hope you have a great week and you can get out and do some photography and good weekend. Okay.
Yeah. Cheers, buddy.
Yep. Have a good evening. Bye.
And you. Bye-bye.